Yeah, get moving, get pumped up. We're back in the Rebel Room. Case Kiefer, Taylor Byrne, Las Vegas Sun. Case, it's been a minute since I've been in this room. I'm having flashbacks.
It's been multiple minutes since we've been in this room together. Pretty crazy. And especially with this much excitement. Like you said, I mean, I'm just kind of an impartial observer from afar, but I'm excited for this UNLV football season, so I can't even imagine if you're a big Rebels fan.
So, yes, with no LasVegasSun.com weekly sports talk, we decided to dust off the old Rebel Room, get it going here again. This is Monday, August 25th, as UNLV prepares to open the 2014 season on the gridiron at Arizona Friday night. Case, we're going to get into a little bit of kind of the overall season preview for UNLV. But first, this game, I'm about to head to UNLV's press conference as we get ready to talk to Blake Decker for the first time since he was named the starting quarterback for UNLV. So get a little insight there, look at UNLV's depth chart, which not a lot of surprises other than the one thing I will say, because I have seen that on the two deep, at least, not listed are either Devontae Boyd or Kendall Keys at wide receiver. I think that's probably Bobby just kind of putting his junior and senior in Anthony Williams and Aaron Criswell kind of up there just to be listed. Those two, and they've been like easily the breakout stars from camp. They're about all anyone's talking about as far as, you know, kind of the new pieces, new additions. They look legit. And so I fully expect those guys to be key pieces, even though they are not listed on that two deep. But Arizona, what are we looking at, Case? About 24-point favorites, I think?
Yeah, 24 right now, which seems about right, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you know about UNLV way better than me, but I would have thought that's about the number.
Yeah, and it's difficult to say because I feel like I know UNLV decently well, but I don't know how they stack up. You know, I haven't seen a whole bunch of these other teams. And once I always find this when you're around one team for so long, even if it's a bad team, which I don't think UNLV qualifies as anymore. But even if it's a bad team, if you're just around it, you can talk yourself into thinking that they can do something.
Yeah, like, there's always good things you can pick out.
Exactly.
For sure.
Like that, you can focus on that. And so it's always difficult to figure out exactly, you know, what you've seen means once you actually get to line up against another team. But I don't know. This isn't going to be the same matchup as last year, thankfully. Was that one of the games you were at?
I was not at that, but I was going to bring that up, interestingly. I think we had something else to cover that night, so I didn't even see that game, but it was at UNLV. Arizona's only a 14-point favorite, and they won by like 45.
They just killed them. Just annihilate. That was the home opener, a game that should have been played in Glendale, but administration decided to keep it at home. Ticket sales weren't very good, and the game was even worse. Kadeem Carey, I think, if I remember right, he was suspended for the first half, and then
probably gained 200 in the second.
Yes, and then he just took off for 40 yards on his first play. They had 397 rushing yards. He's gone. One of the running backs who could be playing for them, he's listed at number two, I think, along with another player for Arizona Wildcats, is former UNLV player Adonis Smith, who, speaking of, you know, not sure what you're going to get out of spring, well, past 2 years, because he was a Northwestern transfer, came to UNLV his redshirt year and then heading into his junior year last year. Every time I saw him, he looked like a breakout type of guy. And then his junior season for UNLV last year, didn't really do much. So I don't know how big a piece he's going to end up being for Rich Rod down in Tucson, but that's a familiar face. Another familiar face for local high school fans and fans of Case Kiefer on the Las Vegas Sun Prep. What's the official name? The Prep.
Prep Sports Now.
Prep Sports Now. Yeah. How could I ever forget? Anu Solomon, one of, as far as I've seen today, Arizona's listing four quarterbacks as their possible starter. And Anu Solomon from Bishop Gorman is one of those guys. And kind of what's the breakdown on him?
Yeah, well, I've probably spent more time talking about him than any football player, high school football player at least. He's a four-year starter at Gorman, just an outstanding talent. I always thought he was really going to have a good college career. He's in kind of a crowded situation here at Arizona, but, I mean, really a kid that can do everything. He's not the most mobile, but can get out on his feet. I know maybe didn't seem like the most perfect fit in Rich Rodriguez's offense, but it seems like he's done good things. I haven't seen an update in a couple weeks, but 2 weeks ago it sounded like he was taking the bulk of the first string snaps, which surprised some Arizona beat writers. They have some big-time transfers, Connor Brewer from Texas and Gerard Randall, who's a huge name when he went to LSU, never panned out there. But so it sounds like Solomon has a really good chance to win this job, and I'm not surprised knowing what kind of talent level he is, but I think some people closer to the program maybe just didn't realize. I mean, this guy was one of the best players in Nevada high school football history, if not the best. Four-year starter, four state championships, never lost an in-state game, never came close.
All right. And if the game goes true to the point spread, we're probably going to see multiple quarterbacks out of Arizona if it's anything close to that. I'm not sure how I think this is really going to play out. It's kind of what I alluded to earlier. I think that UNLV has a pretty capable team as far as, kind of competing within their own division, competing in a what I think is probably going to be a not particularly good Mountain West, but going up against Pac-12 and, Arizona, I don't even think it's supposed to be, or at least most things I've seen, not really expected to be one of those elite teams over there, but still, you figure better athletes at most of the positions. Rich Rod certainly knows what he's doing on the offensive side of the ball. My inclination is that they're going to keep it closer than that, or at least that the final score might end up being kind of around 24, but I have a hard time imagining that it's going to be anywhere close to the bloodbath that it was last year. A lot of that's going to depend on UNLV's defense. I think we saw throughout the year the numbers didn't necessarily bear it out, but with the conference and the numbers were up across the board, and UNLV's kind of stayed the same as they were the previous couple of seasons, which was actually you can view that as an improvement under first year coordinator Tim Houck. We'll see what they can do. That pass rush, trying to fill the two spots at the defensive tackle in the middle, and then adding a guy like Josh Shirley coming over from Washington. And so that'll actually be, he's had some experience playing against Arizona and against Rich Rod, so we'll kind of see how much playing time he gets as he's competing with Jordan Sparkman and Sonny Sanatoa at the defensive end spots, which is actually, I consider that one of UNLV's strengths coming into the year. The question for me is, kind of always starts in the secondary there. They have some athletes. Penny Vea is a guy that I've liked for a long time, had him as a preseason All Mountain West pick, but I'm just excited to kind of see how it plays out with this first one. Last year at Minnesota, really strong first half, and then everything just went to pieces for the Rebels, and then that carried over into the Arizona game at home last year, and it wasn't until that third one with making the switch to Caleb Herring in the second quarter that everything, their entire season, Bobby Houck's career changed that night, which is kind of funny to look back at. I mean, we were up in the press box when it was 21-0, 28-0 to Central Michigan. That was, we were getting ready for a Houck firing press conference. Everybody was writing the obituary, basically, and then things changed so much. And so now to try and pick up what the Rebels had done so well offensively last year, they bring in Blake Decker coming from Arizona. He's a mature kid, 24 years old, had originally committed to BYU, redshirted there, went on a mission. And he, he's a mobile guy, not a great arm as far as, kind of arm strength. You think like the big distance pass, but he seems fairly accurate. This is one of the things that I try to know enough to know that I don't know coming out of camp when it, I mostly see him in kind of 7-on-7 non-contact drills. I don't have a great gauge for how good of a passer Blake Decker is going to be at this level, but I think he's pretty mobile. I think he's a good athlete, and I think he fits the play calling that they had with Caleb Herring last season, which even though they wanted to downplay that, I think that's what coordinator Tim Rosenbaugh and head coach Bobby Houck, I think that's what they wanted out of that position. That's why he came in, knocked out former quarterback of the future, Nick Sherry. I know Ray Brewer's got to be heartbroken about that one. He had predicted a couple years ago that this was going to be the kid that changed everything for UNLV. Now, obviously things can change with injuries and just overall play, but we'll see what, his potential future is. He's enough of an athlete. Maybe he can move to a different position. I don't know. But now a junior at UNLV, backup quarterback with a junior listed ahead of him, certainly some uncertainty there. But overall, you know, for UNLV's season here, coming off of the bowl game, Heart of Dallas Bowl, I'm not going to be going back to that one. That's pretty safe because the affiliations have changed, and that wasn't even a Mountain West one to begin with. Not going to be going to New Year's Day. I feel safe predicting, because that game was moved off of New Year's Day, and it's just not a whole lot out there. But a bowl game in general, after the APR ban gets overturned, that's one of the main things that you kind of look at as you stack up the season. Can they get to that plateau? Now it looks. They added that 13th game when the APR ban was on at Houston, September 20th. They wouldn't have added that game if things had just remained status quo, but it's there anyway. So presumably they have to get to 7 wins to get to a bowl game. I think if they ended up at 6-7, because it was a mistake to begin with, I think they could probably petition and get their way in. But 7 wins gets you there. Case, are they going to get there?
Well, first of all, I'm like the biggest UNLV naysayer ever, so you don't have to listen to what I say. I made a infamous 5-year bowl bet in the aforementioned LasVegasSun.com sports talk show we used to have. This was year 5, and I said they were not going to make a bowl game in 5 years, so obviously I lost that. This year, it's tough. You mentioned earlier that the Mountain West is very weak, and I absolutely agree. When I was looking at this conference, I was like, man, this is going to be rough. I think San Diego State might be my second favorite team, and you saw what UNLV did to them last year. I mean, of course, everything changes year by year. So I think given the strength of the conference, I think they have a really good chance. But I still, if you're pinning me down to make a pick, I'm going to say no. I mean, their win total in the sports books, which I'm sure you've discussed, is only 4. Everyone seems to be on the over. I've never seen like this in UNLV football. I mean, people I respect, too, are saying this team's going to go over. 4 is too low. So it seems like everyone's kind of uniformly thinking they're going to sneak up and be right in contention for a bowl game. I don't think they're going to be bad, but I think if you're making me make a selection, I would say no bowl game.
So we'll run through this quick. The season opens up, as we said, this Friday at Arizona. Then it's home, Northern Colorado and Northern Illinois. September 20th at Houston. Starts a three-week stretch on the road at San Diego State, at San Jose State. And then October 10th, homecoming Fresno State before going into the bye. That's the tough stretch to me. Once you start that at Houston game, you have 3 straight road games and then Fresno State. You could be looking at 0-4 through that stretch. And so that's where I just let's count the Arizona game as a loss, because that's what it's going to be. You know, because it's a first game, I can't say that it would be a huge, like a monumental shock if UNLV won it, because there's just so much unknown, but it would certainly be very surprising.
Yeah, I would be shocked personally. But you, like I said, you know them better. But, God, I just looking at over Arizona, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I've kind of tempered myself to where anything that happens in week 1 or 2, you have to like, oh, okay, well, we didn't know anything.
True.
So, but, yeah, that would be a big-time upset. Got to get those 2 home game victories against Northern Colorado and then a depleted Northern Illinois, at least depleted from the roster that went to the BCS last year. If you can steal a game, to me the key here is, can you steal a game in that September 20th to October 10th 4-game stretch, those 3 road games in Fresno State? If you get one there, I really like their chances, because then when you go to the back half at Utah State, a loss, you can get wins against New Mexico and Air Force at home. At BYU, probably a loss, but BYU is not particularly good this year. And so once you kind of see how UNLV shakes out, I think that's possible. At Hawaii, you should be able to win. Reno at home, you should be able to win. So there are 6 or 7, you know, very winnable games on there that if they take care of business, if they're healthy, if the receiving core is anywhere close to what it looks like, what it seems like it's capable of being, then I think they definitely have a great chance to do it. My dream scenario, and I've said this multiple times, is that they go 6-6 into that Reno game at home at the end with the cannon on the line, all that. I agree with Bobby Houck that having that game at the end of the year is where it should be. And so that's I think it's very realistic that they can be about 6-6 heading into that. Will it happen? You know, that's obviously we can't say for sure, but I am not so sure that things have completely changed, that they won't drop a game like Northern Illinois at home.
Right.
You know, that, like that, that seems like a very possible loss, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've heard multiple people say, well, they're going to go undefeated at home. And I'm like, well, that's not a given by any means that they will go undefeated at home. I could definitely see them tripping up before that game. I think if you get if you're at 6-6 going into the Reno game, you're extremely – I mean, you take that right now, no doubt.
Yeah.
I think Reno is going to be a lot better this year. I remember from looking over – I mean, not world killers, but I think you would go into that game as probably a slight favorite if you're 6-6 and then just see how it comes out. That would be – I think that would register as a successful year no matter how it played out.
All right, so we will see how things get started for UNLV in this 2014 season. Bobby Hauck with a job-saving bowl trip last year. A lot of pieces back, a lot of starters. Only lost two guys to transfer from the offseason APR. It's been a pretty crazy offseason for UNLV as far as just the ups and downs with things. And then adding a couple of guys here with transfers right before the season. They seem capable of sustaining this and not reverting to their two-win ways before the breakthrough. And that's what everyone within and around the program is expecting. That's what I'm expecting. But it remains to be seen. Could be a rough start down at Arizona. But I think, you know, there are no, you know, cliche, there are no moral victories. If you get out of there healthy and relatively close, like a couple touchdowns, I think that's a huge positive step starting the year for UNLV. So for we will see what they have there down in Tucson. I'm heading down on Thursday. We'll be with you. Have everything that you need on LasVegasSun.com. For Case, I am Taylor. Welcome back to the Rebel Room. This will be a weekly occurrence as we get the season going. And excited to have it. Let's see. What's the slogan this year? Red-blooded?
Red-blooded. Red-blooded. I don't know if I like that one.
I'm not a – It's no run as one because it's not as fun to then make puns off of, such as run as one and done.
Not a horrible slogan, but not quite bowl worthy either. Kind of like what I expect this UNLV football team to be this year.
There we go. Hopefully they're in a couple weeks, what we will be discussing is hopefully their pregame music at Sam Boyd Stadium is bowl game worthy. That's the biggest thing that they need to upgrade. Case and I are all over it. We will have everything you need right here, LasVegasSun.com.